Geostatistics Explained, Chapter 13, Important Assumptions of Analysis of Variance, Transformations, and a Test for Equality of Variances. 13.1, Introduction. Parametric analysis of variance assumes the data are from normally distributed populations with the same variance, and there is independence both within and among treatments. If these assumptions are not met, an ANOVA may give you an unrealistic F-statistic, and therefore an unrealistic probability that several sample means are from the same population. Therefore, it's important to know how robust ANOVA is to violations of these assumptions, and what to do when they are not met, because in some cases, it may be possible to transform the data to make variances more homogeneous, or give distributions that are better approximations to the normal curve. This chapter discusses the assumptions of ANOVA, followed by three frequently used transformations. Finally, there are descriptions of two tests for the homogeneity of variances. 13.2. Homogeneity of variances. The first and most important assumption is that the data for each treatment, or treatment combination, in the case of two-factor and more complex ANOVA designs, are assumed to have come from populations that have the same variance. Equality of variances is called homogeneity of variances, or homoscedasticity. That's a word, wow. While unequal variances show heterogeneity of variances, or homoscedasticity and heteroscedasticity. Who designed these words? Nevertheless, statisticians have found that ANOVA is relatively robust in terms of departures from homoscedasticity, and there has been considerable discussion about whether it is necessary to apply tests which assess this before doing an ANOVA, especially because these may be too sensitive when sample sizes are large, or too insensitive when sample sizes are small. Many authors suggest preliminary testing for homoscedasticity is not necessary, providing as a very general rule that the ratio of the largest variance to the smallest variance does not exceed 4:1. In some cases of heteroscedasticity can be reduced by transforming the data. Section 13.5. Consequently, it is often useful to plot the data or calculate the variance within each treatment or treatment combination to see if there is a trend. For example, geological data often show an increase in variance as the mean increases, in which case transforming the data by taking the square root of each value may reduce heteroscedasticity. Section 13.5. There are several tests designed to assess heteroscedasticity, and these have more uses than just checking whether the data are suitable for parametric analysis. Sometimes, you may be interested in a hypothesis about the variances rather than the means of different treatments. For example, you might hypothesize that cooling rate affects the variance of quartz abundance in granite, so you would need to analyze your data with a test that compares variances among different localities. The Levine test for heteroscedasticity is described in Section 13.7. 13.3. Normally distributed data. The second assumption is that the data are from normally distributed populations. Nevertheless, it has been shown that ANOVA is quite robust in terms of minor departures from normality. As previously described in Section 8.7.1, drawing p-plots can assess normality. You should only be cautious about proceeding with a parametric analysis if a p-plot shows gross departures from linearity, such as sharp kinks. 13.3.1, skew and outliers. A box and whiskers plot is a way of visually summarizing the distribution of a sample, figure 13.1, so it can be assessed for skew, and whether there are values in the dataset which are unusually distant, either greater or less, from the mean. These are called outliers. Construction of a box and whiskers plot is straightforward. For a sample containing an odd number of values, you need to find the median, which is the middle value of the set of data. Next, divide the data into two sets, the first of which contains all the values less than the median, and the second of which contains all the values more than the median. Include the median in each set. Then, find the median of each of the lower and upper set. These new medians are called the lower quartile and the upper quartile, which are used to draw the upper and lower limits, also called the hinges, of the box. The distance between these quartiles or hinges is the interquartile range. 25% of the values in the sample will be larger than the upper quartile, 50% will lie between the two quartiles, and 25% will be smaller than the lower quartile. Finally, you need to add whiskers to the box. Each whisker can extend outwards for a maximum distance of 1.5 times the interquartile range from the end of each box, but it's only drawn to the maximum value within that range. This will give you a plot with a box running from the lower to upper quartiles and whiskers extending out from each end of the rectangular box, figure 13.1. For a set of data with an even number of values, the procedure is almost the same, except that after finding the median, you divide the data into two sets, the first of which contains all the values less than the median, and the second of which contains all the values more than the median. Figure 13.1. The features of a box and whisker plot. That's pretty simple. Probably not going to try to describe that since I just did. 13.3.2. A worked example of a box and whiskers plot. This example uses a sample with an odd number of values, n equals 9, 1, 3, 4, 6, 7, 9, 10, 12, and 25. The median of this sample is 7, so it is divided into two groups, where the lower group contains 1, 3, 4, 6, and 7, while the upper group contains 7, 9, 10, 12, and 25. The median of the lower group is 4, which becomes the lower quartile. The median of the upper group is 10, which becomes the upper quartile. These are the limits of the ends of the box, called the hinges. The interquartile range is 10 minus 4 equals 6 units. From this, you can draw the rectangular box in figure 13.2a. The maximum potential length of each whisker is 1.5 times the interquartile range, and thus 1.5 times 6 equals 9. This is shown in figure 13.2b. Each whisker can extend out a maximum of 9 units from its hinge. Because each whisker is only drawn to the most extreme value within its potential range, the lower whisker will only extend down to 1, while the upper will only extend up to 12. The outlier of 25, indicated by an asterisk, lies outside the range of the box and its whiskers, figure 13.2c. The shape of the box and whiskers plot indicates whether the distribution is skewed. If the distribution of the data is symmetrical about the mean, the box and whiskers plot will have a medium equidistant from the hinges, and the whiskers that are of similar length. As the distribution becomes increasingly skewed, the median will become less equidistant from the hinges, and the whiskers will have different lengths. Figure 13.3. Any values outside the range of the whiskers are called outliers and should be scrutinized carefully. In some cases, outliers are obvious and mistakes caused by incorrect data entry or recording, faulty equipment, or inappropriate methodology, e.g., a daily temperature of negative 80 degrees Celsius or a negative radiometric age date, in which case they can justifiably be deleted. When outliers appear to be real, they are of great interest because they may indicate that something unusual is occurring, especially if they're present in some samples or treatments and not in others. Importantly, however, when there are outliers, you should be cautious about using a parametric test. One or two extreme values can greatly affect the variance of a sample because the formula for variance uses the square of the difference between each value and the mean. So, figures. Assumption of equal variances among treatments or samples can be easily violated. Figure 13.3. Three steps in drawing a box and whiskers plot using data in section 13.3.2. A. Drawing the box. B. Establishing the maximum potential length of each whisker. And C. Drawing the actual length of each whisker. Figure 13.3. Examples of box and whisker plots for A, normally distributed data. It's pretty much symmetrical. The box itself, it looks like the upper quartile, or the second quartile, I guess, is a little bit smaller than the third quartile, but the whiskers are the same length. And B, data with a gross positive skew. So in this case, the second quartile is very small, and there's a much larger whisker length on the top than the whisker length on the bottom, and there are three outliers above the plot. Outliers are shown as asterisks. 13.4, independence. Finally, the data must be independent of each other, both within and among groups. This important assumption needs very little explanation because it is really just a matter of good experimental design. For example, you need to ensure each sampling or experimental unit within each treatment or combination of treatments is, for more complex designs, is chosen independently, and all possible units within the population have an equal likelihood of being selected. 13.5. Transformations. Transformations are a way of reducing heteroscedasticity or making the data more closely resemble a normal distribution. There are many transformations available, and three commonly used ones are described below. Most spreadsheet and statistical packages include a large choice of transformations. 13.5.1, the square root transformation. The variance of the data increases as the mean increases. A square root transformation will make these data more homoscedastic. There is an example in table 13.1. 13.5.2, the logarithmic transformation. If the data show a gross positive skew, a logarithmic transformation will give a distribution that better approximates one that is normal. Many types of naturally occurring phenomena have logarithmic distributions, such as crystal size, populations in magmatic rocks, river basin sizes, island sizes, and star brightnesses. In cases where the data set includes any values of 0, you need to use the logarithm of x plus 1 because the logarithm of 0 is negative infinity. Many types of geological data, especially those based on biological processes, e.g. dimension of fossils, show a positive skew, and figure 13.4 shows the effect of a logarithmic transformation on a positively skewed distribution. Table 13.1. An example of the effect of a square root transformation on data where variance increases as the mean increases. Data are given for porosity of sandstones at three different drill sites with oil potential. The original data show gross heteroscedasticity among groups in that the largest variance is 10.92 and the smallest is 0.67, giving a ratio of largest to smallest of 16.38 to 1. The square root transformation reduces this ratio to 2.05 to 1. 13.5.3. The arc sine transformation. The arc sine transformation can be useful for data that are percentages. Because percentage data have an absolute minimum of 0% and an absolute maximum of 100%, any distribution with a mean close to either of these extremes is unlikely to have a normal distribution because it will cease at these values. Figure 13.5. An arc sine transformation will give the distribution a far more normal shape. 13.6. Are transformations legitimate? Here you may be thinking that transforming data to make them more suitable for parametric and statistical analysis sounds like cheating, or altering the data to get the result you want. First, however, transformations are applied to the entire data set, so each value is treated in the same way. Second, there's no scientific necessity to use the linear base 10 scale that we are so familiar with. Many geological relationships between two variables, e.g. earthquake magnitude on the Richter scale versus energy released, crystal population density versus crystal size, are logarithms, squares, or cubes. The apparently linear pH scale is actually logarithmic. A pH of 4 indicates a 10-fold difference from pH 5 and a 100-fold difference from pH 6. Therefore, in many cases, it is actually more appropriate to transform the data so they reflect the underlying relationship. Importantly, if you transform a set of data, you also need to transform your null and alternate hypotheses. For example, if you were to hypothesize that, quote, the steepness of riverbanks is not related to river basin size, unquote, but carried out a logarithmic transformation on your data before analysis, your original hypothesis would also have to be transformed to, quote, the steepness of riverbanks is not related to the logarithm of river basin size, unquote. 13.7, tests for heteroscedasticity. There are several tests designed to examine whether two or more samples appear to have come from populations with the same variance. As mentioned earlier, if you are only interested in whether the data are suitable for parametric analysis, the general rule that the ratio of the largest variance to the smallest should not exceed 4 to 1 can be used. If this ratio is greater, it may be useful to examine the data and see where the differences occur, because it may be possible to transform the data so that a parametric analysis can be done. If instead you're interested in testing a hypothesis about the variance of two or more samples, you can use the Levine test, which also gives an F ratio. Remember, however, that a significant result for the Levine test may not mean the data are unsuitable for analysis by ANOVA, which is quite robust to heteroscedasticity. Levine's original test calculates the absolute difference between each replicate and its treatment mean and then does a one-factor ANOVA on these differences. The absolute difference is the difference between any two numbers expressed as a positive value. For example, the difference between 6 and 3 is negative 3, while the difference between 3 and 6 is plus 3, but the absolute difference in both cases is plus 3. Figures 13.6 and 13.7 are a pictorial example, explanation, of the Levine test. Two cases are shown, using the data on apatite abundance in sandstones that were first described in section 11.3.3. I've skipped quite a bit of few figures now. Figure 13.4, the effect of logarithmic transformation on data for the number of bubbles measured on 1 centimeter squared thin sections of volcanic rock. The x-axis shows the number of bubbles per section, and the y-axis shows the number of thin sections measured that contained each number of bubbles. A. The data show a pronounced positive skew before transformation. B. After transformation to the log 10, note that the distribution in B is far more symmetrical than the distribution in A. Figure 13.5. Restriction of the normal distribution for percentage data when the mean is close to 0 or 100%. I have no idea what this figure suggests. It's got frequency on the y-axis, percentage on the x-axis, and there's a bunch of, there's four different peaks, one at near 0, one near, maybe, yeah, I don't know. Figure 13.6. The Levine test examines whether two or more variances are likely to have come from the same population by doing a single factor ANOVA on the absolute differences between the replicates and their treatment means or cell means. A. Arrows show the difference between each replicate and its treatment mean. Note that some differences are positive and some are negative. B. The absolute differences are listed under each treatment. Every value of the absolute difference between each replicate and its sample mean will be positive. In this case, the means of the absolute differences are the same for each treatment, and a single factor ANOVA comparing these will not be significant, thereby indicating that the variances are homostochastic. Figure 13.7. An example of the Levine test where there is heteroscedasticity. Arrows show the difference between each replicate and its sample mean. The absolute differences between each replicate and its sample mean are listed under each treatment. Because the absolute differences for Darcy are much greater than the other two treatments, a single factor ANOVA comparing the means of the values in B will show the variances as significantly heteroscedastic. 13.8. Questions. Oh, wait. Did I miss some text? Yes. First, if the variances within all treatments are similar, then the set of absolute differences between the replicates and their sample means will also be similar for each treatment. For example, figure 13.6 shows the absolute differences for three samples and that all have the same variance. Note that the means of the absolute differences in 13.6b are the same, even though the treatment means in 13.6a are not. A one-factor ANOVA comparing the means of absolute differences will not be significant. Second, if the variances differ among treatments, figure 13.7a, then so will the values of the absolute differences, figure 13.7b. Note that the set of absolute differences for Darcy has a mean that is much larger than the other two. A single-factor ANOVA comparing these means is likely to be significant. The Levine test is available in most statistical packages. 13.8. Questions. Why can a transformation be useful when analyzing data with parametric tests, especially ANOVA? 2. You have been given the following set of data for apatite abundance in sandstones at 4 outcrops. A. Do the data require transformation before running a single factor ANOVA comparing the 4 locations? What transformation would you recommend?